While we were in praise and worship, this is what God spoke to me. For you wives who are married to men who are into perversion. God says men who are in perversion cannot love a wife or anyone because they are too absorbed in their self, which is total pride. So if you're married and somebody that's into perversion, quit crying and wailing, moaning and groaning about it. Just go ahead and stay in love with Jesus. Because unless they want to get rid of their pride and let God straighten them out, you're not really going to have a husband. All right. Thought I'd share that since God shared it with me during praise and worship. Somebody has to hear that. Father, we just thank you tonight and we give you all honor and all glory. Father, we stand at the throne of grace, not in pretense, but in humility, humbling ourselves before you, Father. Thanking you that you have been warning us about repentance for quite a few services now. We thank you, Father God, that we can never say that you did not warn us. And Father God, tonight, those who came out to sit in your presence, I'm asking, Father God, that you feed them fresh manna from heaven. I'm asking that your angelic host be going to and fro throughout the chairs during the work they were sent to do. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit continue the work that you started. And bring your people full circle around, Father, to be the glory that you want them to be. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today God gave me a word, apart from myself and apart from the church, about the church. He said that the church is getting ready to emerge on the scene. They're finally going to come out of their cocoons and become the butterflies that he's calling them forth to be. I'm going to put it together and, just take out my stuff and put the church stuff in there. And I'll send it out because it was a really good word. I didn't think about it. I'd have brought it tonight. All right, so this is not God speaking, all right? I was telling Adam, whenever I get a message from God, it's usually chastising. But I just prayed and prayed. I said, God, I need a message for Sunday night. But he didn't give me one, so at the very end of this, so he did say something, but it's good. So anyhow, then he's been talking to me about angels, and I just thought I'd just put something together about that to encourage, uplift, and it's something we have to be doing, okay? Now, people are seeing angels all over the place. They're seeing them in their Sister Nancy told me she was in prayer this morning, and she saw a big angel all dressed in the full armor standing in her bed, and she didn't know what to say, so it left. And have you seen angels? Astrid said she's seen angels.
Right here?
Can somebody take a microphone to her, please? We have to have a training session on what you do when somebody starts speaking. No, I mean, they need to take a microphone to you.
That was the day that the Lord was using Brother Chris. I was on the floor, and I could see, and I told Brother Chris what I saw quickly. I saw angels standing on the right and on the left, and I saw the Lord with chariots coming from the throne, coming all the way out here. I could see gold, and I never, I have seen, but this was like that day. I could see like gold, like the glory, like he came down right here. And two nights before, I had a vision when I was with Barbara. I had a vision about something coming out of the mouth, like fire out of the mouth. And now I realize it was for Brother Chris. And it was gold. The anointing out here that day was big. And when I was in the floor, I was like, I could not stand up. God really used him. He was here. That's all I have to say.
Now, see, if you're walking in the Spirit should have witnessed to you that what she said is true. You should have felt the Holy Spirit all over you. Now, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you think, well, I don't know what she just said. So she said, and that was just two services ago, I think that was, that she said she saw the angel here and the gold here. Every church has its own angel. If you don't believe that, read Revelations chapter 3. Every church is assigned an angel. And people used to always tell me when they come across the railroad track, they could see the angel standing on top of the building. The angel is still here. He has not departed. So we constantly have an angel watching over us each and every service. Now, since I've been reading a few things, I always read about angels, because when I was first born again, I was in my room where I pray, and God said, look up, and I did, and here stood a great big angel, you know, in the Italian Rome armor, or, you know, dress. And I said, God, I said, what is that? And he said, that's Michael, the archangel, and he is your angel, and he will watch over you continually. Now, there's been times when I've been in a battle, and I forget that vision. And today I said, I really repented, and God, I said, I'll never forget again that you showed me my angel, and he was in his Roman battle gear, standing there on a mountain with the wind blowing through his hair. They always seem to have long hair. Did yours have long hair? Yeah, they always seem to have long hair, shoulder length. And he had a sword in his hand, so he's always continually protecting me. The Word of God tells you that each one of you have an angel protecting you too. When I pray for my household and my children, I pray that the angel that was assigned to them on the day they were born, I tell that angel, you need to keep guard over them according to the Word. And if we do that, we're going to find that we won't be in as much of a mess, because the angel, our angel that's been assigned to us, really wants to keep us safe from all harm. All right. So heaven coming to earth. We are in a season where we are pulling on heaven, believing for heaven to come to earth. As we do this, angels are being released in a much greater dimension, and we must learn to co-labor with them, in other words, work with them. Jacob had a dream, and it released heaven on earth. In Genesis 28:10-17, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I believe the body of Christ is just like Jacob. God, the angels are around about you, and you do not know it. How many of you notice you'll be working around, all of a sudden you'll see something move out of this, you know, out of the side, and you look and there's nothing there? Yeah, or, you know, you'll just see. I know that's the angels around about with us, leading, guiding, and directing us. And if we will just start calling out to these angels to help us, we won't have to fight all the battles we've been fighting. But God, that angel will fight our battle for us. This is what the Word tells us about angels. They are set here to fight our battles for us. Now, it is very important to realize how important our dreams are. God may be releasing covenant promises to us while we sleep. In Genesis 28:16, when Jacob awoke, it said, we just read that, when Jacob awoke, so he was asleep when all this happened, all right? Then in verse 17, Jacob recognizes that he had experienced not only the house of God, but also the gate of heaven. A gate of revelation from heaven had opened for Jacob to enter. He had witnessed angels, covenant promises, and prophetic destiny during his dream. Now, I'm hearing a lot of people are writing about their dreams and giving the telling what the dream's all about. And the dreams are really getting very intense in nature. And I know that God is trying to talk to us while we sleep. And he's trying to show us what's going on in our lives and also in the world. And God expects each one of us to be paying attention to what we dream. And how many of you dream a lot? See, I never dreamed in my life, but here in the past year, every night I dream, every night. So I know that that is God telling me what's going on, either in my life or around about me. He's directing me as I sleep. So it's very important that you, when you go to bed, you might say, I say, God, as I lay my head down here, I'm expecting you to give me a dream tonight to show me some revelation. You know, and I expect to get awake with revelation of what's going on. I just feel like that's a way to, you know, to say, God, I'm listening, I'm waiting, and you're welcome to come into my sleep and give and talk to me if you want to. You know, God said, you have not because you ask not, and if you don't give God permission to come in your dream, he just might not come in. Jacob did not realize that when he decided to stop over and spend the night at a certain place, remember that was in verse 11, that God would actually meet him there. So I said that because when you go to sleep at night, you might not believe that God's going to come to you in a dream and tell you anything. But if you're expecting that, then your spirit man is wide awake to receive whatever God wants to give to you. And if you watch those videos that I sent out that Sid Roth had, that one man, remember he had the dream where the room was all white and everybody was dressed in white. Remember I had two dreams like that? And I got all excited when I heard him say that. I'm going to go back and listen to it again. But he told what his dream meant. And I'm trying to recall my dreams so I know what they meant. All right? Maybe you have to start getting your lazy little self up. I'm talking to myself. And when you have that dream, get away, quickly go out and write it down. Because you think, oh, I can remember that. And you get away, go back, so you don't remember tiddly. It just took, the devil just took it right out of your memory, right? So I said, all right, God, the next time you give me a dream, I'm going to get my lazy self up and I'm going to go write it down. God was ready to meet Jacob, bless him, and speak destiny over him. God used the angelic activity as a sign of heaven connecting to earth. Heaven's gates had opened to Jacob to receive an impartation of revelation. So this is what God wants to do. He wants to open heaven's gates to impart you with revelation. All right? You know, people say, well, I don't know if it's pizza. Quit this pizza junk. You know, God's trying to show you something. And I read an article where sometimes people, if they, you know, have a dark dream, they right away think it's demonic, and it really isn't. It's God showing you what's coming upon the land, and the enemy's trying to make you believe that you ate something you shouldn't, like pizza or something, and so you just shove that dream away. But they said, keep hold of those dreams and watch and see what goes on around about, you know, in the world. What God said concerning Jacob's future involved angelic action. I feel the dream is even a sign for us today. Angels are actively involved in not only our future, but also in fulfillment of our covenant promises. In John 1:51, this speaks about Jesus being Jacob's ladder. So John 1:51 said, and he said to him, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, which was Jesus. All right. Because we pray as Jesus did, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is much angelic activity involved in heaven touching earth. How many of you really pray that God, when you're really desperate? And you say, God, let whatever's going on in heaven come down to earth and take care of the situation. Matthew 6:10 says, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to stop there. When we first started a church in my home, when you walk in my door to your right, there's a window there. And One day I looked up there during service, and there was a ladder. And I didn't know about Jacob's ladder, but there was angels ascending and descending. And we had miracle after miracle after miracle, and that's what caused the miracles to start occurring in the church, because the angels were bringing the miracles. And I was thinking about this, you know, when we was having all the revivals and, you know, all the time miracles. Like, I called some people that were sitting back there in the corner, and I said, "You five come up here and stand right there." And they come up and stood, and they fell down. They were knocked down backwards. And I was still standing up here. They had never been in a spirit-filled church before, and they said they would never go into another one. But who knocked them down? I didn't. The angels that were in here ministering to people knocked them down, right? Nobody saw the angels, but they sure fell down hard. Nobody was catching them. I didn't say, "Get a catcher, get a catcher." They just fell down. I mean, that's just one instance. But what I'm saying is the angels are always here, and they're doing the ministering, not the people. This is why I quit laying hands on people, because I want you to know it's not me. It is God doing. All I am is a vessel that opens the doors, and we show up, and then God does what he wants to do. And those people that want to lay hands on people all the time want to make a lot of people believe that the power comes from them. And it's not them at all, it's God doing it. All right, if you had 1,000 people in a room and you were saying God was going to do something, how can you touch all 1,000 people? Are you understanding that? Remember the story I told you about one time I went over to Baltimore, and Kenneth Hagin Sr. was over there, and he preached, and he was calling the people up on the stage to receive something. I forgot what it was. And I got up, and God said, "Don't you go up there." And so I kept getting up, and I was walking out through the aisle. You know, he said, "I told you not to go up there." And I went up there. Everybody went down except me. Everybody was on the floor except me. And that auditorium was piled clear full, because God said, "You already have the anointing. Don't go up there." And then I'm telling you, there's, you know, angels are everywhere. Who was knocking those people down? The angels were. And because I was disobedient, they just stepped right on past me and knocked the other one down. I was up at the church in Newark, and I was standing on this side down in hunters were there, and they were calling for people to have the gifting of healing. And I was already seeing miracles, raise the dead and everything else. So I went up there because I wanted to get the gift of healing. And some real heavy set African-American woman was clearing the other side of that church. She said, "I don't know how I got over it," but she was thrown over there and landed on me and broke my ribs. And what's her name? The hunter. She said to me, she said, "God told you." She came down to minister to me. She said, "God told you not to come up, or you already had the anointing. This is disobedience." You understand what I'm saying here? That woman didn't fly over there. I'm quite sure an angel picked her up and brought her over to me and slapped her right on me. You want to be disobedient? Then this is what happens in disobedience. So I just thought I'd get a better anointing if the hunters laid hands. Got a couple of broken ribs out of it. All right, this is how God works. It's not you. Where am I at here? Matthew 6:10, I read that. All right, whenever we come into full alignment with the will of the Father and we desire for his kingdom to be established on earth, the angels get involved with us and actually begin to co-labor with our prayers. All right, let's just have another example. Remember the night you guys came up to my house, Brother Brett, and the young man was, the devils in him were wild. And they were trying to beat up poor Brother Brett again. And all I just said, "Stop in the name of Jesus." And that devil and that boy stopped instantly. Now, I didn't stop him, but the power of God stopped him because he was strong. He had a lot of strong demons. I knew that I couldn't handle that boy because he would jump through. He jumped through my windows. He jumped through my porch railing and broke that stuff. He did all kind of things. I knew that I had no control over that boy, but I knew the angels could. The angels, you know, I always call for the angels when I started deliverance to come and bind them devils up, because I'm not strong enough to handle anybody that's full of demons, but the angels are. Are you listening here? Be alert to your dreams and visions. This is a season where God is speaking to us through dreams and visions. He's also sending angels to us. Jacob recognized how God was speaking and ministering, and we need to do the very same thing. Though God is moving differently at times, we must exercise our spiritual discernment to recognize his voice. Jacob cooperated with a dream, by making the stone pillars into a pillar. The experience became monumental to him. And he built a memorial unto the Lord because of what had occurred. So I say that what we are experiencing today in this season of our lives is monumental, whether we know it or not. The battle that we are going into, we need the angels working on our behalf. We cannot do this battle ourselves. You can get the little spirit of pride out of you because you get beat up in a hurry if you go out there thinking you're going to do it in your own strength. God is moving in dynamic dimensions, and we must heed to what he is saying and doing as heaven continues to invade us. We all have a special part to play. The Lord is going to divinely position us to co-labor with his divine will. And as I was reading that, I thought about Grace doing her flagging. You know, if I was her, I'd pray, "Angel, you dance for me tonight, or dance through me tonight." I really would. I think that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah, we just need to start letting the angels do the job they want to do. Nobody will see an angel. All they'll see is Grace just and Barbara and Deborah just waltzing around, you know, like they know what they're doing. And that angel does know what he's doing, and he'll be doing the dancing for them. All right? So is flagging and dancing weapon? Yes, it is. And so you're that's a weapon, so you need your angel at work helping you. Now, angels are involved in our harvest. In these last days, the angels will be involved in reaping the harvest. If we study the Word of God, then we will notice that a harvest is not simply limited to souls. A harvest involves our blessings. Harvesting is an act of reaping. God's told us this just recently. As God has spoken many times, we are spiritually entering into a great harvest season when we are going to reap our promises. Now, who's going to bring those promises to us? The angels. Do you remember the story about the woman with the paper bag and she needed money? And somebody said to her, said, "Open that bag," and she did, and there was money in it. And then they told her to close it back up again, and then told her to open it again, there was more money in it. And that kept going on until she had the amount that she needed. And nobody touched that bag except her. So who do you think put the money in the bag? The invisible angel that you don't see. Are you understanding this? Where am I at? We have been what? We have been promised the spoils of war, the blessings, spiritual inheritance, and also reaping of seed that we have been sown. All right, we have been promised the spoils of war, the blessings, spiritual inheritance, and also reaping of seed that have been sown. Whatever you reaped, whatever seed you reaped, you're now going to receive the harvest of it. Good, bad, or indifferent. But I'm hoping mine were more good than bad and indifferent, right? Part of our harvest is in healing, greater works, and other miracles. Many of us have been promised breakthroughs where health is concerned. God has promised that he's going to restore our youth. Now, who do you think, if you're sitting in your chair and all of a sudden you're healed, who do you think's doing that? It's the healing angel that has been sent to come by and touch you and heal you. All right? Angels will be actively involved in our harvesting season. They will be involved in releasing miracles, financial breakthroughs, and the harvesting of all the covenant blessings. The prophet on Sid Ross' video said there are thousands of angels here on earth right now. God showed them to him. He's actually seen them, thousands. The way we are to co-labor with the angels is to believe for heaven to come to earth as we move in faith, believing for the miraculous. You know, if you really stop and think about your life, most of us should be dead today. And we don't understand why we're not. The one time when I drowned, right before I drowned, I looked up and saw this man standing on the, he was swimming under the bridge, under a train track bridge. And he was standing up there on the train tracks. And when I came to, my brothers and sisters said, this man appeared out of nowhere and jumped in the water and got me and brought me up on shore and told my brother and sister she's going to be okay, and he just flat disappeared. That was an angel watching over me up on that railroad track, and he came down to rescue me. Are you understanding this? If you really would stop and think about what's going on in your life, you would all of a sudden understand that you had more angelic encounters than you ever even thought about. And you would understand that the angel was there keeping watch over you. Psalm 91 tells us he gives his angels charge over us. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? God is thrusting the believers into a new realm which will require each of us operating in our own anointing. Each one of you in here, you have a very special, unique anointing. You can't operate in somebody else's anointing. You have to operate in your own anointing. At the same time, God is also releasing a host of angels to empower us to do the work of the ministry. As you step out there in your own anointing, angels are sent out there with you to make sure that you do the ministry that God is calling you forth to do. All right? Quit second-guessing yourself. Quit allowing the enemy to just make you feel like God's never going to use you. God is going to use you. He's trying to use you right now. And with what God told me this afternoon, he's on the scene right now. And we're going to see some great and wonderful things happen shortly, very shortly. God is sending his believers on specific assignments to accomplish his divine purpose. To fully empower each of us, the Lord is releasing a host of angels to not only protect us, but also to help thrust us into victory. What did Jesus say? He called a legion of angels for his assistance anytime he wanted to. And they would have never touched him or said anything to him, you know, the people. But he didn't do that because he had a mission he had to accomplish. And Psalm 91 states the angels will bear us up so that we will not dash our foot against a stone. We have the Lord's promise that he gives his angels charge over us. Don't ever feel that God is requiring too much from you. Realize that we are not alone while we are fulfilling our godly assignments. You know, you say, well, God, I just can't do that. No, you can. You cannot. But that angel that's been sent on assignment to help you fulfill that assignment will. All right. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. That's key right there. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And it starts out, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Now, if you have not made God your dwelling place, then you can't expect these angels to come and do anything for you. You know, if you read that one gentleman's book who born Satanist, Satan has his own demons. And they're out there constantly on the prowl, working for, on behalf of the enemy. And we believe that, some of us do, but why can't we believe that God has his angels? And the reason why there's demonic angels is because Satan imitates everything that God does. Right? And Reverse is his name, isn't it? John. You know, and he said that one time he, you know, flew through the air, was trying to hurt this guy, but he couldn't do it because the angels were watching over him, over the guy he was going to hurt. So he couldn't touch the man. How many times do you think that somebody really wanted you dead or beat you up or something, but because you've made God your dwelling place, they couldn't come near you because when they tried, there your angels were protecting you. And you know, and the devil's angels are scared to death of God's angels. All right, in the scriptures, who fought Michael? Satan did, right? Kept the answer from Daniel for 21 days. He didn't win, though. Reinforcements was sent, and Michael got through. See, you don't read the word and understand what it's saying. You just sit around and let everybody else read it and tell you. And they could be telling you wrong. But if you really read the word for yourself with the Holy Spirit will reveal what you need to know from the scripture. All right. When God gives his angels charge over us, this means that he commissions them to protect us and keep us in all our ways. So whenever we are involved in spiritual warfare, the angels are actively involved also. Likewise, whenever we are involved in fulfilling God's will on earth, the angels are also involved. I think it is very exciting to know that the angelic hosts are co-laboring with us to fulfill God's purpose on this earth. Some will actually see the angelic activity. This one preacher prayed before ministering to a church. He closed his eyes and asked the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the congregation and then opened his eyes. To his amazement, two huge angels stood at the back of the church with their arms extended over the congregation as if to protect them. The preacher asked the Lord what he was supposed to do, and the Lord replied, "Just preach the word." So he did his part by preaching the word, and the angels did their part by just being there. After preaching the word, great miracles occurred. Tumors disappeared, eardrums were created, and backs were healed. It was a miraculous service. After the closing prayer, the angels disappeared. They were finished with their assignment, and the preacher was finished with his. And the preacher stated how awesome to co-labor with the angelic host. Isn't that awesome? Sister Barbara gets up and says, "I'm heading up the aglow, just me and God." If she would invite the angels to come in, I don't know what she does. If she would invite the angels to come in before she started, she would know that everything was going to go just fine. I pray every service, God, just let your angels be there. Let your Holy Spirit be there. Just minister to the people as your word goes forth. Now, I don't know what you all do when you lay out here on the floor, but whatever's going on, it's going on because God's angels are here, his Holy Spirit is here, and God is just ministering to you, changing and rearranging you. I said I don't know because when I laid out on the floor, I just didn't know what was going on with me either. I just went someplace. I don't know where I went. So I don't really know what was going on, but I do know one thing. My life changed each time. Whatever God said he was going to do, he did. All right? I remember I went to a service up there in Newark, and I was sitting there. You know, they had an evangelist in, and the pastor and all of her congregation was there, and I got up. She said, "Now what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, God told me to go out there and lay in the aisle." She said, "You are not going to do that." I said, "But God told me how to do that." And she said, "You are not." And I said, "Yeah, I got to." And so I went out. I laid down on that floor, and that's the last thing I remember. Just when I got up, I had a brush burn on my elbow, you know, where I had slid on the floor. But I was out in the spirit with everything they did, song service, everything, laying there. And now, I don't know what God did, but I know they had some miracles happen there that night. But the pastor said, now what are you going to do? She thought I was a cracker pot from somewhere. But, you know, we have to do what God's telling you to do because you don't know what God's using you to do. He has to have a willing vessel. And, and God's looking for leaders. So if you're going to be a leader, then lead. Lead. I was telling Sister Barbara when I was first born again, I went to this one church. And there was every night they'd give an altar call like all churches do, except this one. We don't do it that way. But anyhow, God would say, get up there. And so, you know, after about three times, I said, God, why do I always have to come up here? And I said, because I'm not even in sin. He says, somebody has to lead my people. And every time I went up there and knelt down, the whole church followed me and went up there and knelt down. And God ministered to them. And I was sharing that with Sister Barbara. If you're going to be a leader, then you have to lead. You know, I just didn't get up there because I wanted to get up there. God said, you got to go. And so I just was obedient and went. But the people that followed received what they needed from God. It doesn't matter what people think. They always thought I was crazy. See, she's always at the altar. Who cares? I was at the altar because God told me to. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do what God's asking you to do because he's asking you to do and you're not concerned about what the pastor thinks about you? What are you going to do? That same pastor told the people, don't pay attention to her. She's not right. But yeah, I was, and I still am. And I'm still going to preach the gospel and do whatever God tells me to do. All right, remember, we are not to worship angels. The scripture is very specific concerning this. However, we are to heed their presence and work with the assignments given by the Father. If you read the Old Testament, they would always say, call the angels Lord. And went to bow down to him. They told him not to. But they always brought a message from the Father. They actually literally saw the angels. I hope that God actually lets us literally see the angels. Don't you? Remember, Norval Hayes, the daughter, was on drugs. And she was trying to make her father be embarrassed because he was a great preacher. And she did everything she could to shame him. And so Norval Hayes one night said, Father, just send the biggest angel you have in heaven to her and get her attention. And I don't know how long it was, but one night he heard this horrible scream. She came running down the hall, Daddy, the biggest angel I've ever seen was sitting on my bed. And she got herself right. She's out preaching the word right now, signs, wonders, and miracles following her. And we fall into preaching of the word. I'm sorry. See that? As we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, expect to witness more and more angelic activity. Also expect to have more dreams and visions concerning angels. Remember to wake up, write down each dream, and wait for the interpretation. All right, I said that about Norval Hayes' daughter because, all right, you have a wayward child. Instead of you getting all befuddled about it and say they need to just go and this and that and the other like I do every now and then. You need to keep praying like I do. God, send the biggest angel you have to scare the stuffings out of them and scare them straight. You know? If you have somebody sick, pray that an angel, God sends a healing angel to them and heals them. Not be fretting about what's going to happen to them and wringing your hands. How many of you sent an angel of healing to our president and his wife when you heard they were sick? I said, God, your healing angel can go and heal, touch them and heal them. Because they both have a great work to do for the Father. It's not time for them to be taken out. It's up to us as children of God to pray and protect our president and his wife and his children, their children. The book of Revelation is full of accounts where God is using his angels to carry out his orders even as we speak. What are you trying to get accomplished and cannot get it done? Have you ever thought of calling on the angels to come forth and assist you? I had a grandson who was on drugs one time, and I said, God, make him so sick. He can't stand himself. And he was getting sick every day. And you know, he finally said to me, Mom, did you pray that I'd get sick? I said, yes, I did. I should just been quiet, because from then on, he didn't get sick anymore. And he kept on with his drugs. But he was ready to give them up to him. It finally dawned. I think the devil told him. He realized that I was praying that he'd get sick and he'd quit the drugs. It was working. And I'm praying the same prayer again. Your prayers work. God does move on your behalf if you're doing it right. And God's angels do come to your assistance, and they do help with your children. All right, now this is what God said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and I have all of heaven at my disposal. I have given the angelic host charge over you, and they are waiting to assist you in whatever way you ask. Ask, little ones, and watch the battle become so much weaker. Remember, my word tells you, you have not because you ask not, in James chapter 4. Now, I didn't write the scriptures down, but in the Old Testament, it says where when they were going out to battle, before they ever went out to battle, the enemies were destroyed. God sent an angelic army and killed all their enemies. They never had to go to battle. They just went and picked up the spoils of the war. So what are we doing? What are we doing? Why aren't we sending the angels out to fight our battles for us, and we just receive the spoils of the war? In what battle are they? We send them to fight? We're fighting for our children's souls. You might be fighting for your home, you know, your job. It could be a lot of whatever you're fighting for. If you send the angels forth to do that battle for you, they'll do that. Do you know that when somebody I really, 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 really do like gets in trouble, the first thing I do is I start praying for God to send the angels to that person so they have favor. It's usually people that's in trouble in the law, all right? And I always ask God to send an angel ahead of them so that they work with the people they're going to be working with them so they can have favor. And it works every time. Works every time. And God said to me one time, he said, now, I've been doing this quite often for you about this one person. He said, now, they're going to have to, somewhere along the line, they're going to have to pay the consequences of their sin. So we'll just work with that when it comes, all right? But I know that I know that I know that the angels are there, and they are on assignment, and they are there to protect us, because I should have been dead at least 20 times in my lifetime. I drowned 3 times. And, you know, but, it, you know, and I've been in accidents and everything else, but I never died because an angel was sent to keep charge over me. Now, see, I believe in angels because I've seen mine. I haven't seen any others. I just see the little shadow of them or whatever it is. I just don't know what I would do if one of those shadows manifested. Maybe God knows it'd be too much of a shock right now, so he's just getting me built up so I can take care of that. Amen. And I know I saw the window of heaven with the ladder and the angels ascending and descending, and it was a bright light. I know I saw that, and so did other people that was coming to the church. See, so I know they're there. I know they're in this room tonight, and I know that they're sent here on assignment to do things to you people. You know, whatever God's trying to do it to you, the angels have been sent to do it. Now, do you believe it? Me, but have you seen them, Deborah, an angel? Shadows too. See, she was saying she believes. That's why I asked her if she saw. See, so really, if we believe without seeing, then that's faith. Can you imagine what God's going to do with our faith? I mean, we're gonna see a whole army of angels. Who was it that asked God to open up his servant's eyes so he could see what he's seen about the rain? It was Elijah. I always get them two mixed up. Elijah. He said, God, open his eyes so he can see what I see. And then he saw. So tonight, why don't you say, God, open my eyes so I can see into the spirit realm and see your angelic host. Not because I don't believe, but I'd just like to see. I would just like to see. Some of you parents need to maybe scare your kids tonight. So what are you going to do with the angels? Are you going to put them to work? See, wasn't this a nice sermon, better than this morning, right? I won't tell you what God just said to me. We'll just let that between God and I. What God wants to do tonight, though, is he wants to open up your spiritual eyes so that you can not only see the angels, but also hear them as they bring you instruction. Smith Wigglesworth and all them talk about how the angels would come in a room and sit in their chairs or on the bed and wake them up. And they sit and talk and have a conversation. And then, you know, then they were bringing a message from God. They finally give the message. But so if it happened then, if it happened in the Old Testament and it happened in the New Testament and happened to the prophets, you know, that right in this generation, why can't it happen to you and I? Why can it not happen to you and I? I don't want none of you to see an angel driving home, though you'd wreck your car. Okay. So wait till you go home to ask to see one. All right? You'd either wreck your car or get pulled over because you're drunk driving. Do you know that's what they used to do out here? Remember that, Alan? The police used to pull them over because they'd be so drunk in the spirit, and they would give them a sobriety test. And they were just drunk in the spirit. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they did it to you too?
Yeah, because we were, Deborah, Grace and I were walking up a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they pulled me over and they said, you've been drinking. I said, yeah, I've been drinking the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, it was a chief who pulled me over.
I left here one night, and one of the policemen stopped me right before him. You left. He said, you need to get out of your car, ma'am. And I said, why? I said, because we've heard you've been in there drinking. He said, well, he checked me, and he said, I guess that was a lie. He said, you're going home. So do you want God to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see the angels and also talk to them? Not be unnerved, but be brave enough to talk to them, and so you can hear what they're saying. If you do, that's what the altar's for tonight. A touch from God to see and then also speak to the angels and get instruction like Abraham and all them did. You know, it was a common thing back in the Old Testament. They would say, hurry up and cook something. You know, the angels ate and everything. Brought them messages and had dinner. No. So let's just have it a common, ordinary thing now. I don't care who else says, but I would like the Lighthouse Church to walk in that revelation knowledge that there are angelic hosts and they are here to help you. You know, and if some of you are fighting addictions, why don't you call on the angel to come and bind up those addictions and drag them out of you? You have the power to do that. It's your body. It's your temple, right? Are you listening? Call on those angels and have them come and bind up these spirits and drag them out of you and free you up from those addictions that you have. We need to use all the weapons of warfare that God has given us, every one of them, just not one or two. Some of you are in heavy bondage, and you've been going through deliverances, and you've been doing all kind of things. And God said, if you just call on the angel, he'll come and he'll yank that stuff out of you. Come away, my beloved ones, to the eternal heavens. Come up higher with me this night. Allow me to reveal to you all of heaven. I want to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see what I see. In your open up your spiritual ear so you can know what I know. Children, this is your hour now to shine. This is your hour to come forth in great victory. This is your hour to go forth and fight the battles and win. My angelic host has surely been sent to earth already. and they are waiting to assist you in whatever battle that you have to endure. I tell you, my little ones, I am that I am, has you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And as you call on my angelic host, as you truly believe in this, the angels will come to your rescue. And you will not have to fight the battle. You will just receive this spoils of war.